Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I do revel, in a way, in the opportunity to kind of round out this weekend of Easter in this particular service because of the baptisms. And those young folks who have been baptized, if you're in the room still not getting changed or whatever, listen up, because I want to encourage you. But I also want to speak to the faithful, or those that are in the faith, to kind of take a hold of baptism again as something that you assert in your life in all of its meaning. You know, we've been saying throughout today and this weekend, I've had a little byline to my messages, embrace Easter for all its worth. And in a fashion, that's exactly what baptism is all about, embracing Easter for all its worth. And if any reason you're not in the faith, you're an observer or you're a visitor, please don't feel got at, but I want to share some good news with you. And if you can think about it, assimilate it, maybe you too can at some point in your life step into the journey of faith where these things become what we say, the thing that changed my life. That you will know the difference of coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and absolutely discovering the absolute change that that brings upon your life in terms of hope and joy and a great life and a great expectation of eternity. Well, I wasn't always a church person. I think my parents wanted me to be. They were highly involved in church when I was young and right through to the end of their lives, actually. In fact, we had a funeral service in the church for both of them because they went to church so often and hundreds of people turned out. But my mum and dad had great expectations of me being a church person. When I was in the mid-60s, when everything was turning on against God, against Christian values, I got turned on by the late 60s values. And I did not want to be identified with church or with God. I didn't like church people. They seemed the most boring crowd to me. I kind of made up my mind. There might be life after death, but I didn't think there was life after going to church. So I didn't want church. Church was a big problem to me. And around that time, while I was skipping church, avoiding church, but still at sometimes being commandeered to go to church, there was a change in the pastor of the church that I went to. Now, it was a Baptist church, so baptism was a big thing. It was like baptism is our second name, right? So, it was kind of anticipated that at some point a young man in his journey would declare himself for Jesus and be baptized, but there was quite a bit of gossip around the church in a kind of, not in an evil way, but in an assessment of young Graham Fletcher. He was one that was causing problems, in for trouble, and was a troubled youth, and sort of kind of like, woe betide anybody if you approach him about giving his life to Jesus. Because I destroyed several youth camps and other things where that had been tried to put to me. The proposition seemed to stir up a demonic reaction. I was a full house, I think. But anyway, in the change of pastor, this guy tried a different tack with me. And when he first met me, he said, "Have you ever thought about being baptized?" Well, I thought in my head, yes, I've thought a lot about being baptized. I don't want it. But I kind of shied away from the question because I knew he was trying another angle. You know, it was only just a few years ago, like maybe two, that I was invited to a biker reunion of some guys that I grew up with in South Auckland, New Zealand. And we grew up in a pretty tough hood. And there was some intrepidation about going to the reunion because my life is vastly different from theirs now. And how they knew me then, and I was only young, and what I'm doing now, is very hard to put together if you only conceive of me in the idea of how they anticipated I would be. But they invited me as kind of like a guest of honour to a biker reunion. So I talked to Patty about it, and you know, I was in New Zealand at the time ministering, so I committed myself to a three-day celebration with these old bikers, and it was like going to a mafia weekend. You know, I sat at table with these guys being served like kings, hearing stories of mayhem and murder, truly, and drugs and broken marriages and destroyed lives and imprisonment. They seemed to glory in the fights that they'd had down through the years. And strangely for me, while I never entered into any of that because Jesus got to me at the right moment, I sat there and I saw a reflection of what I might have become. As I looked around at my mates, I thought, man, I could have been you. In fact, one of them visited us in Canada. It was another tricky moment. I got a phone call from an old biker friend traveling with some other bikers and their girls saying, can we come and stay with you? Well, you know, I knew what they could get up to. But my wife has shared a background with me coming from that same kind of a hood. And we took a risk. They came to stay, and one of my mates turned over to one of my kids and said, your father's the reason why I became what I am. And he's not a Christian, by the way. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get the blame for their lifetime of mayhem, murder and brutality. But I saw in them a reflection of what I might have been. And there was that question that that pastor asked me. Have you ever thought a bit about being baptized? Baptism to me seemed to be going too far. Baptism to me seemed somehow so foolish and so stupid that to hear the water sloshing around in the baptismal tank in the Baptist church only set me off in giggles. And in some kind of mockery of those people standing in white gowns, looking rather sanctimonious as they came across the stage and plopped down into the holy waters, I didn't have any reverence for it at all. And I felt I was never going to ever submit myself to that. Now, baptism, of course, is parodied in so many movies. Baptism in religion is disempowered through various kind of half forms of baptism. But this whole idea of full immersion in a tank or a river or at the sea, certainly for me, not only was worth parodying, but totally avoiding. I have to jump across my story because I don't want to take all night on that tonight, except to say I had a huge difficulty in identifying with church and Christians and, of course, with Christ. It was hard for me to admit that I didn't want to identify with Christ. I'd been raised to respect and understand the gospel, and somehow in my heart, that part wasn't rejected. But I just didn't want to go all the way with him and become a declared Christian. Well, there came a day. There came a day when a friend of mine broke down in front of me and fell on the ground and began repenting and crying out to God, one of these troublemakers, and began crying out to God. He was in trouble and he was emotionally disturbed. And as it's one of those times we'd been commandeered to a meeting, and we heard somebody else whom we had known for their previous life giving a testimony about coming to Jesus. And I was out of that door real quick, running across a field in a country area to get away from it. And this other friend of mine who came with me was running with me, except at some point across the field he fell down and began repenting and crying out to God. Now that I felt like kicking him, you know. That was getting a bit too much. I was not under that sort of conviction, and neither did I want to have anything to do with this. But here's what happened. Somebody came across the field, came straight in front of me, knelt down, and led that boy to Jesus, that guy to Jesus, right in front of me. And boy, I was like, what do I do here? How do I get away from this? And the guy that led George to Christ looked up at me as he's knelt down beside him, and he says, what about you? Well, man, I felt like Simon of Cyrene. I felt like some Roman grabbed me by the throat and put the cross on my shoulder. I felt I was being commandeered into the pathway of Christ. I had nowhere to go. And strangely, in that moment, I said, well, okay. Now, that's not a very spectacular come forward with deep conviction of sin conversion. I just kind of went, okay. So the guy stood up. I didn't even get to the kneeling down, crying on the ground part. The guy stood up and led me to Jesus in a prayer of acknowledging my sin and repenting. Do you know, word travels fast in country areas and small town life. By the time I'd got back to my hometown, I was walking down the street. If any of you know Winky Prattney, his mum poked her head out the door from her house and said, I heard about you today. She said, will you come on into the house and talk to me about it? I burst into tears. I didn't know what this emotion was about. She took me into the house, gave me a meal, and extracted from me the story, half of which I've told you. Well, by the time I kind of escaped Winky's mum, emotionally disturbed, knowing something's going on in my life, that I'd given my life to Jesus, I'm walking past the Baptist church. And you know who's there? The young pastor. This is not a Sunday. He shouldn't ought to be around the property. I used to cut through the church on my way home. He sticks his head out of the door of his office and says, I heard about you today. What happened? And do you know what he did next? What do you think you should do next? And I burst into tears. Man, I was a mess for like 2 weeks. You touched the subject, I broke down. But I said, I should be baptized. And suddenly for me, in baptism, there came this, like this breaking open of my heart of full surrender. This was it. All that I'd fought against, all that I didn't want to do, I was now committing myself to do. Baptism became the point of surrender in the major commitment of my life to Christ. Here's what happened to me. What does baptism mean to me? It means to me full identification. Learn from this. Baptism means full identification. First of all, with Christ. It meant that I had to follow him. It meant that I was going to be an obedient follower of Jesus. It meant that I had to fully go all the way. You see, you can get your toes wet in a puddle. Now, I'm using this metaphorically, but this is full immersion. And I had been raised around the Christian experience and the gospel. I'd been raised around the truth of Christ and fought and resisted and tried to keep away from it, and particularly away from the people who seemed to represent it most in my life. But when I came to Jesus, it was about full immersion. I could no longer just have my toes wet. I could no longer just be near the pond. I had to dive in. I had to go all the way with Jesus. It was an all or nothing from that moment. Maybe some of you know enough about Jesus, really. You only need to know that he died for you to save you. You can sort out the theology of it and even the full story of it later. But you got your toes wet. You're around those that believe. But somewhere along the line, there comes a point, will you follow him? And for me, baptism became the point of followership, if I can coin a word. Baptism became the point where I decided to go all the way. I plunged in. And when that young Baptist pastor scored his hit that day, when I said, yes, he knew he was on to something. A little revival went through the church. All the young people started getting baptized. Isn't it funny how you get one bad egg fixed? I'll never forget that night of my baptism. So powerful, so emotional. But you know what else I forget about? I'll never forget about it. It happened too quick. Because of all my pent-up resistance, I was expecting this kind of dramatic moment to linger longer. I thought, you know, maybe they should hold me under the water longer. You know? But it's a little bit like marriage. You come out after you've had the vows and all this hoo-ha and beautiful dressing up and looking at this, you know, the fawning couple, and you come out of it and you think, boy, that went too quickly. Can we do it again? Can I savor the moment? It happened so quickly. I would imagine those that have had this happen this evening, it's gone. It's done. You've done it. But you've done it for all of your life. And this now doesn't be the end of your baptism. This is the beginning of the assertion of your baptism in your life. And for me, it all seemed so quickly because I had so resisted it. I came out of that water and I was full on for Jesus. It was followership from now on. The second thing about that moment in baptism was, for me, it was an identification not only with Christ, but with the cross of Christ. You see, it was like an ownership also of what he did for me. Now, we heard a text being referred to a moment ago. I'll read it to you. Romans 6, verses 3 to 5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is what happened for me. And I think it can happen for you. And certainly is happening for these young people we've seen tonight make this bold and brave step. Taking the foolish step, as it would seem, is actually taking an obedience step. And it's saying yes to Jesus on all scores. And what it's doing is we're saying, I see myself in you. You took my sin to the cross. You died. You were buried. And you rose again from the dead. And when I come to Christ, I die. I am buried. But thank God I don't get held under the water till the bubbles stop. Because I rise again. Out of that watery grave, out of that metaphorical grave, I have identified myself with Christ, the cross, and all that it has done for me. I can never forget feeling so clean in my early Christian experience. No, I wasn't clean. It took me a long time to really clean up, you know. And at this age, I'm still getting there. Some people think I need a lot more sanctifying. And it's true. But I'll never forget that on a regular basis, probably every night, I would pray out to God in identification with the cross. Lord, you took my sin and I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for delivering me of sin and my sin. And now I walk in newness of life. And I could feel this wash over. Literally, it was psychological, but there was something about it. I would feel this. Now, later on in life, I got over the need to feel it and lived in the affirmation and faith of it. But that's what baptism did for me. It marked my identification with Christ on the cross and what the cross is all about. And thirdly, and I finish with this, that baptism for me was a huge turnaround in my attitude to church. Not only did it mean followership of Christ. Not only did it mean ownership of the cross, but it also meant fellowship with the church. Church is cool these days, but I never thought it was cool in my day. It probably was. I was just a rebellious full house. But one of the great things of baptism in my life, it brought me back to fellowship. You see, in the early church, it was very clear. We saw it on one of the texts that Graham had on his explanation, where Peter says, repent, believe, and be baptized. Believe, repent, and be baptized. Repentance, faith, and baptism. That's one of the three steps into the house of God. It's one of the three steps into the household, into the family. Repentance, faith, baptism. It's the steps that get you in. When you get into the house, Jesus only ever told us to do two major things. There's only two pieces of furniture in the house of God. There's a bath and there's a table. The rest we've put in there for convenience sake. Only two ordinances Jesus gave. He said, be baptized. And then he said, take these emblems, the cup and the bread, and this do in remembrance of me. And both of them center on the cross. Both of them center on that which is central to the Christian faith. And in baptism, in its importance to the Christian initiation into church life, into the family of God, it's like baptism gets you in and the table keeps you in. We're celebrating and we're identifying with the cross in both of those ordinances. And for me, baptism and stepping back into church as one who was fully immersed now, not getting my toes wet, everybody seemed beautiful. Church wasn't boring. I was a front rower from that moment on. I don't know how that happened, but they all changed. Such is the power of baptism in my life. I love baptisms. In our church plants and leadership of church, some guys like to count numbers. You know how many heads we've got in a meeting? How many people come out and get saved? There's one number I'm prone to count, if I count any. It's baptisms. Because I kind of feel like once somebody has surrendered to baptism, they've said, well, I'm going all the way. They've said followership. They've said ownership of the cross. And they've said fellowship. I'm going to finish with this. But embrace Easter for all it's worth. For me, Easter's a very special time. Because it was Easter 1968 that I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And never look back. My resurrection came. My deliverance from sin came at Easter. And today that could happen for you. Tonight that could be the changing point of your life. We could help you get washed from your attitudes about church tonight. It could become the funnest place to be for the rest of your life. I'm going to finish with this text in Galatians 2 and 20. For I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. I've identified with him. Now I'm a new person. How amazing is that? Embrace Easter for all it's worth. Would you stand with me right now? I've so enjoyed these days with you, these meetings with you, and enjoyed this church. It's almost a homecoming now, getting a good habit. And because of our longevity and connection with Pastor Hal, it does feel very much like family. But it's a privilege for me to stand here just at this final moment of ministering over this weekend and maybe offer an opportunity for folks to go all the way. And if we could just close our eyes and kind of tune out from what's around us. I'm not going to pressure people. I'm not going to take you through something where I creep up on you and do something that you don't want to do, other than I want to invite you tonight to please consider the cross. While you're standing there prayerfully, to please consider the nature of the Easter message. Is it a far off historical point or religious point, or is this true? Is this really as it is? Are you prepared to turn your back on it and say, that's not for me? What's turned you off from church? What's turned you off from Christ? Because in this moment, Jesus is appealing to you with all his love and desire. He's not on the cross now. But what he did on the cross wants to come into full force into your life, that you know that you are cleansed from sin, that you know that you have a new life to live in the power of the Son of God, and that you know that in eternity, everything's resolved. You're with him. And so tonight, if there are people who would like to give their life to Jesus or reconcile themselves to the message of Easter tonight, just put your hand up. I'm not going to get you to come out the front. I'm just asking you to put your hand up. I want to pray generally from the front here. There's a hand. Somebody else. Several hands going up. Anybody else? Just, I'm asking you to kind of shift yourself in response to the Lord Jesus, not to flinch. Say, Jesus, I want to accept this. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. I saw several hands go up. Let's all pray this prayer. And you who've lifted your hands, while we congregationally pray, you pray this with deep meaning. And you surrender to what you're saying here to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray this together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for the Easter message that you took my sin and carried it away from me. I'm saved by your blood. I'm rescued by your blood. And Lord, I will live for you with your help, by your spirit and your power coming into my life. Lord, I receive you tonight as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that I have eternity with you. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something as I finish here. You prayed that prayer as sincere as you did. Even if you didn't put up your hand, even if you were a little like me, walking across the field, not willing to bow, but you were sincere. God, the Son of God, will follow you up. My encouragement is that you seek someone out in the church, the pastors, a friend, and you say, I committed my life to Jesus tonight. Help me get in the way of this. And go all the way. Don't put a proviso on it. Go all the way. It'll change the rest of your life. Amen. God bless you. Amen.